definitely human.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was the autumn of 1893 when I encountered Mr. Roy Steele. I had been back in the old country for less than a month, having escaped from Africa with barely the trousers I stood up in. I speak, of course, literally. The jaws of the lion are no metaphor. I had cursed myself for thinking that my future lay in diamond mining, cut my losses, and returned to Mother England. Yet even this was of no comfort to me. The average Englander was poor company for one who had spent the last few years as I had. I confess that I spent my days at my old club, a bottle of brandy my only companion, and then chiefly because I drew eyes and nose on it and did a little voice. It was then, when I feared ejection from even here, that I met Mr. Steele. He had been a member for barely a month, and yet he already had a reputation from some of the more established members as something of a wife botherer. He and I were clearly cut from the same cloth. This is a metaphor, for we are actually made of skin and innards. It was the third time I saw him before he condescended to introduce himself to me, drawn, I fear, to my brandy bottle like iron to a magnet. Seeing a certain gleam in his eye to which I was not unfamiliar, I inquired as to his business.
Listen, Sonny, if I were to tell you what I'd been up to, your simple Victorian man's brain would boil away like badly cooked soup. Oh, go on then.
He began to tell me a fantastic tale. He and his colleague, a Professor Lorimer Chesterfield, were apparently a pair of consulting detectives. The crimes that they investigated were, it seemed, a touch outré, none more so than the adventure of Oxley Moor.
I'd finally allowed Lorimer to pop out to a lecture or something about knowledge. That was his bag. I'd done all my learning the old-fashioned way, with my face. Who needs facts when this nose of mine can sniff out trouble like a pair of old socks? I'd spent a pleasant afternoon hiding from my landlady when she appeared before me with what Lorimer would describe as a client. Me, well, on quick investigation, her hair, face and dress were unmistakably those of a woman. "Oh, Mr. Steele," she said to me as she massaged my shoulders. "It is my father." "Where?" I asked, quickly removing her hands. Luckily for me, he wasn't there. But that, apparently, was the problem. She told me her father was a horse trainer on Oxley Moor in Wiltshire. I say was, because he had disappeared. Also, all of his horses had been found dead, eaten alive. When I described this to Lorimer, his curiosity was piqued like a dog with a delicious postman. Once we'd worked out our client's name, apparently it wasn't Miss Victorian Lovely, 1891, we set out at once for Oxley Moor. It was a cold and unpleasant place, which is saying something because I've been to Slough, so there's some pretty mean competition. This was all hills and fields and no nightclubs. Miss Lovely, what? Look, I'm a faces man, all right? Miss Lovely immediately showed us where the remains of the horses had been found and their condition. I won't repeat it because you'll do a little sick. Anyway, Lorimer did something clever whilst I reassured the lady with my natural charm, and once my face had recovered from her playful slaps, Lorimer and I, for some reason, were off on foot to a nearby copse. As we passed into the copse, I was shocked by how quiet it was. Just the rustle of the wind through the trees and the colossal spider webs everywhere. "Are you sure this is a good idea, fella?" I asked Lorimer, thinking hopefully of the station boozer I'd seen when we got here. Sadly, that boozer was to remain a beautiful alcoholic dream. Lorimer told me it was off limits after the last one we'd been to, and that the groom had told him this is where the lady's old man had been heading. The groom believed the copse was the home of a gang of horse rustlers. At that moment, we discovered the truth. A fella stood in front of us. We couldn't see his face, but his entire body seemed to be wriggling beneath his coat. There was the strangest sound, like hundreds of tiny legs. Lorimer tried the old hello trick, but all that issued from the man's mouth was a horrible scratching noise. I held up a handy lighter I'd brought with me. The strange man recoiled. He immediately pulled back his coat to reveal his body was made up entirely of spiders. Hungry, horse-eating spiders. And they like to chow down on man as well, from the looks of it. Seeing their reaction to fire, I spider means of our salvation. The old steel sense kicked in. It's innate, like having a second leg. I grabbed the nearest branch from a dead tree and quickly applied the lighter. The tree burst into flame via the medium of fire, and I grabbed Lorimer by the arm to remove him from the path of the spiders. We swiftly hoofed it back to the farm, leaving those webby bastards to burn like the hell beasts they were. Lorimer gave me a look and muttered something about wanting to understand them first for the future. I told him, as we were stuck in Victorian England with no way home, banging on about the future was a bit low.
I wanted to quiz Mr. Steele further about this last remark. Unfortunately, we were on our 12th brandy by this point and quickly passed out. By Christmas of this year, he had gone. The last I saw of him, he had been arguing with Lord Melford about an incident with his stepdaughter. We passed each other on the steps as he beat a hasty retreat, muttering something about the 1970s and talking about a case that was to take him to the East End of London. Sadly, I never learned what this could mean as he passed from my life completely. I write this as a record of my strange and brief encounter with the man, and as a hope that something of Mr. Roy Steele might pass into the history books.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.